9:30 on a Thursday morning. And time for the Uncensored with Penny Faree.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Uncensored, the show where we highlight critical issues that affect our region. Now, in recent years, the North Coast has emerged as one of South Africa's fastest growing areas, with significant investment in both residential and commercial real estate. However, despite its economic importance, the region is grappling with serious challenges: financial mismanagement, corruption, and failing infrastructure. Coming up today on the show, I will be speaking with Chris McDaniel from the Rain Farm Gain and Lodge about the ongoing delays and challenges in repairing the P103 and P104 roads. They were directly impacted by the floods, which happened nearly 3 years ago in April 2022, and major concerns are remaining within the business community regarding the ongoing economic damage of the damaged roads. And we're going to start off to put it into context. We reached out to the Chamber, the Lembe Chamber of Commerce, and Kubus Ulipsa, he's the CEO of the Chamber. He has been driving this, obviously, with the business and community. And this is what he had to say with this particular situation.
Good morning, Penny. Thank you, as usual, for the opportunity to provide you with an update on the activities of the Ilembe Chamber. It is much appreciated. With regards to your specific inquiry, I just want to, as requested, give you the update on the meeting that was convened by SANRAL on Tuesday, the 11th of March. And it related to the state of the roads, the P103 and the P104. Now, those are quite critical economic infrastructure for our region. The P103 is the road, if people don't know, that gives access to really the adventure corridor, as we call it, with Rain Farm, the wildlife sanctuary, Hidden Forest Wildlife Sanctuary, Adventure Valley, and a few other lodges. And while the P104 primarily not only provide access to those areas, but also is the feeder road for tankers that service the Avon Peaking Power Plant. Now, as you are aware, the P103, the bridge over the Mshlali River on the P103, was washed away in April 2022 with the major floods. And the repairs of both the bridge, the strengthening of the causeway bridge over to SANRAL by the Department of Transport. And as you can imagine, the meeting on Tuesday was exceptionally well attended. Both the Department of Transport as well as SANRAL were in attendance. But probably the majority, if not all, of the businesses affected by the road, the state of the roads in that area, were also in attendance. It obviously led to very frank and open discussions around the need to expedite the repairs to the road. And this may be in terms of sequence. The first piece of work that needs to be completed is the strengthening of the causeway bridge. And the urgency around that was stressed. And I need to acknowledge SANRAL's chairpersonship of that meeting. It was very constructive, very positive. I've taken in and on board all of the concerns raised by the businesses. And a commitment was made that they would review some of the options that they had available to them, and some of those options unfortunately were quite unpalatable for the businesses that would be affected. And they made a commitment that they will rework some of the options and revert via the chamber back to the business community. So that was all positive. I think probably the most important message that came out of it is the full understanding of the concern and the fear and the angst around not getting that road repaired as a matter of urgency. The of equal concern was the P104, which also has got significant damage to the road. Currently it's being used by about 20 or 30 fuel tankers on a daily basis going into Avon. And the vulnerability of that road is obviously a significant concern, especially considering where Eskom is with their generating capacity at the moment. We tentatively agreed on the need for a diversion of that road. It's probably going to be a 1 kilometer diversion. It will go onto public land that belongs to the Kwadakuza municipality, and between DOT as well as the chamber, we will make the necessary approaches to get that authorization out as soon as possible. I think probably just maybe as a last comment, that it's a good reminder to maybe just remind your listeners and the audience that there is a lot of publicity around the state of the roads, especially the state of the roads in that area, but also just to remind them that the roads remain open. There's no need for people that want to go and visit any of those attractions, any of those tourist facilities, not to venture onto that road, excuse the pun. The road is accessible even for sedan cars, and please support those businesses. Let's make sure that the needed publicity around the state of the infrastructure do not distract from the appeal and the need for support of those businesses. Penny, thank you very much. As always, bye.
Yeah. So thank you to Quirbus. You know, he's given us context. Now, I'm going to bring in Chris now. Chris, I just want to just touch on one of the points he said. You know, he said that the potential long-term consequences of these roads, you know, continue to be in the disrepair that they are. What would that be to the business community there? And the other question was, obviously, with the alternative road, you know, which could possibly affect, you know, the P104. Can we just touch up on those two issues and just give me a brief rundown in terms of what they were proposing and why was everyone up in arms about it? The first proposal that SANRAL took to the business community in terms of fixing this possible bridge.
Thanks, Penny, and thanks once again to Penny and to Dave, just to, you know, give us this opportunity to highlight the issues that we are facing. You know, as a community out in the farm areas, you know, we always feel sometimes a little bit isolated from, you know, the main hub of Balito. So it's great that we've got this forum to be able to highlight them. So thanks once again. I'm going to start just on the P103-1, which is the road which leads from Sugar Rush Hollow Trails up towards the SNMB P103 and then down towards Rain Farm and Adventure Valley. That road has got multiple cutouts that were washed away from the floods in 2022, as well as the main bridge that you know, collapsed. And then subsequently, the farmers in their private capacity built a bridge, and I'm just going to put this out there. It took us 3 days.
3 days to
three
build.
Days, and then the curing of that cement took a further week. But in essence, call it 2 weeks, we were able to build a bridge that was passable for helos, and those that don't know what helos, it's those big sugarcane trucks, those massive ones, as well as multiple, you know, cement trucks. So it is a sturdy, and this has been going on now for 3 years, so that bridge is solid. Okay,
yeah.
So if that bridge, or if there's a major flood, you know, going down the line and that becomes possible, that literally cuts everyone off, ourselves. So I'm not just talking about from a business perspective, I'm talking school children getting to school that aren't able to get to school, you know, fresh produce that are macadamia nuts, sugar cane can't get to the mills, all of that type of thing. And we are entering now from the 3rd of April. That is the mac picking season, sugarcane, and all that. So the macroeconomic impact that it will have is enormous. Okay, so that's just the first part. The secondly, obviously, you know, businesses like ourselves, Rain Farm Lodge and Adventure Valley, we will be cut off and our businesses will cease to exist. We currently employ up to 50 people, okay, yeah. Which, and in the broader context, we are supporting probably at least 150, you know, families within the KDM area, okay. So that's just from that point of view as well. Furthermore, going back to the P104 now the P104...
It's a Glendale road.
It's the Glendale road. So if you're going on the R102 towards Stanger, yes. And you would turn right to...
By Sharker's Head.
Yes, by Sharker's Head. So you're going to turn right to Tunney and you go left to Shyamwaya. There is a sinkhole that has, you know, that is sort of now collapsed there, and only one half of the road is open. Okay. So that now leads to the Avon Peaking Power Plants, all right? So... The Avon Peaking Power Plant produces a 660 megawatts of power, which in essence powers the entire northern grid. So from Tonga to Stanger, okay?
Yeah.
If those tankers, which is run by Reef Logistics, they've done a risk assessment. The risk assessment says that they cannot use the P103, which is the road that we, you know, would come from the opposite direction.
Was that the alternative that they were looking
at?
That
was a plan B. It was looked at, you know, obviously subsequent to the floods.
Yeah. Sorry, I just want to jump in. So SANRAL, they said to fix its sinkhole, they're going to have to close that road and divert the tankers from the road that they're currently using to the P103.
Penny, with all due respect, what they are proposing in essence is a great plan.
Yeah.
In practice, it won't happen. The red tape, like Quib has mentioned on the thing, it's on private land. You're going to have to get municipal consent, private land consent, and all the rest. The time frame that it's going to take will be months. I mean, if you just look at the fact that a simple road repair that should probably take them a week, they cannot complete. Yeah. So now you're talking about a massive road diversion and detour. Yeah. That's going to take months. In that interim period, that's the precariousness of those sinkholes could collapse it in. If we get another 100 mil downpour of rain, that road will collapse. Yeah.
And just to put it into context, so to keep the Avon Peaking Power Plant running, it requires around 17 fuel tankers delivering a full load for every 4 hours of operation. And currently, with the critical electricity grid that we are facing, the Avon Peaking Plant's on almost 24 hours, and each tanker holds 30 to 40,000 liters of diesel. This is fuel. So we've got 17 tankers doing a full round every 4 hours. And are they proposing that those tankers get diverted to that road, which has a bridge that has been built by the farmers? Is this the same road that we are talking about?
Yes. Yeah, so that's, they can't go around the P103. They can only use the P104.
Yes.
Okay. Right, which now, if that now collapses, they cannot get there.
Okay.
Which means that, so Kay Govender, who is the one of the main engineers at the power plant, stated in the meeting with SANRAL 2 days ago that if they cannot get access to that, we will go up one stage of load shedding.
That's so how much power.
So I'm not talking about local. This is a national. Entire stage of load shedding that will go up.
Yeah.
Okay. So everyone thinks that, you know, we're all like a little bit of ostriches, heads in the sand, and we're ignoring the fact and we think, oh, it's a localized problem, it's not my problem. This is a national government problem.
Yeah.
And it is not being attended to with the urgency that it is. It's going to affect every single person.
And what have been the challenges? Why have there been so many delays? We've had 3 years now. And I know I'm going to bring in the 2.2 billion rand. Treasury released national funding, 2.2 billion rand for this region, for the flood damage that happened in the region. They said this is going to be prioritized. And, you know, working this in the spheres of government, they had to put those projects up there, and they were critical projects. Why are we still looking 3 years down the road at a sinkhole that hasn't been fixed? It's putting potentially the national grid in jeopardy. And we're looking at businesses from the P103 that also face critical economic,
challenges. And what will happen is that we all could just get isolated. There is nothing. So what they were proposing is, because the contractor, due to his own negligence, and I have to highlight this, the contractor is so far behind on work because he cannot manage a project and he is not qualified to manage the project, He has run out of cash flow. He does not know how to manage his cash flow. He has got on site a SANRAL representative, an engineer. He has got the engineers that designed the bridge all helping him. It's like they are like school teachers trying to assist him to do it. He is never on site.
But I don't, you know, I'm going to come in because this is a systematic failure and we're seeing it time and time again. Legislation that has tied in, you know, critical government entities to using, you know, progressive or emerging contractors. So if he's been given the contract, he's been paid for the work, he hasn't pitched up, he hasn't done it, surely there are penalty clauses that should be applied or he gets taken out from the project and someone competent enough. I mean, what did SANRAL have to say to this?
Penny, I promise you, it's actually hilarious. It's beyond a joke because, so in any sort of form of construction, if you get someone to come and, you know, you give them the contract to build your house and they're behind, like you mentioned, there are penalties and all that kind of thing. SANRAL in the position where they are in a position that they can penalize them 50,000 rand a day for being behind. Unfortunately, what it does then is that he's already under cash flow constraint. He can't even, so if you take that money away from him, he is going to go bankrupt and then the job will just fall. It will then take another further 2 years. So what they said is that in order to incentivize him to work faster, I can't even believe that you need to incentivize him to do this, but they wanted to close the bridge access on that side for 2 weeks. Now, we said as a community, we said, the rate at which they are working, you are saying 2 weeks. That 2 weeks will never be 2 weeks. It'll be 2 months. Yeah.
How long ago was he given the contract?
So this was last year, I'm assuming, and I think it was about July. It was in the dry season.
Yeah.
Anyone looked into who awarded the contract and who it was awarded to? Because there's this nebulous anonymous fellow.
So how the contract system now works with SANRAL, and it's been explained in detail, is that any, and I don't know what the figures are, and I'm just going to use layman, you know, just ballpark figures. I'm say for example, there's a contract that is worth 10 million rand. Okay, if it falls within that threshold, they have to give the contract to an emerging contractor. So that means that that's someone that's just started, they're new, and they're trying to uplift, you know, these emerging contractors to get them, you know, and teach them, and then eventually, hopefully, move on to bigger contracts. So these guys are being employed. And they cannot actually do the work. Okay, they don't know how to do it.
But they don't have the skills.
They don't have the skills. So they've now said to this guy, listen, you need to get in better subcontractors to be able to complete the work. On the 3rd of April, so while there was a big upcry, was on the 3rd of April, the Mac picking has already commenced.
Yeah.
And those Macs now need to get delivered. So if they close that bridge.
For 2 weeks.
We all just actually laughed at them when they said that. And we said, nothing's going to be able to happen. Our business will stop, one.
Yeah.
And two, in literally the peak season, over the Easter period,
produce,
sugarcane, macadamia nuts will not go. So we said to them, under no circumstances will you close our bridge.
So what was plan B then? So you can't close
the
bridge.
They don't have a plan.
So we're sitting with an incompetent. You know what? They're almost setting him up to fail. I know, you know, if you really go dig deep both ways, it's, you know, they're saying they're obligated to bring in these emerging contractors who have no skills, no experience. So they give them a big project like that. They are set up to failure because they cannot. And we've seen it systematically everywhere. And now you've got an economic crisis from both sides. And we're saying that there's no plan B.
Yeah. So they've got the Department of Environmental gave them permission, the EIA permission to work within the riverbed up until April. They requested, initially it was January. Then they got it extended to April, all right? Then what happened then was that they wanted to extend it to June, okay? But Environmental said, no, we'll give you to April.
There, because that now falls under the Department of Transport. So this has been a pillar to post exercise. I got a group of moms who use that road to commute every day with their children who said that their lives are in danger every day because that big sinkhole has cordoned off the one side of the road. So you basically, the oncoming traffic has to move to the one side and you almost have to avoid the taxis and trucks. You almost have to swerve and there's been a number of accidents. Last night there was another one. So the Department of Transport said that this Kwadukuza Municipality said it's not their problem. It falls under the Department of Transport. And now the Department of Transport have refused to comment, you know. And
I can make comments on that.
Yeah, and tell me, did this come up in terms of any
information? Yeah, so we had at the meeting that we had at Rainform on Tuesday morning, yeah. We had the representatives from SANRAL, from DOT,
yeah.
The Avon Peaking Plants, obviously ourselves and local, you know, business, yeah. You know, representatives. And I asked a direct question to DOT and I said, why has this not been fixed? And the answer was, they have no money. They have no funds to fix anything. So that is why it has not been fixed.
So the sinkhole now that has been proposed, one of the ladies from the DOCRA, from the Ratepayers Association, said that when she's also been trying to reach out to the Department of Transport, he said that the repairs are imminent. They're basically about to start. So is that another spin doctoring?
No, 100%.
So there's no funding.
No, there's a lot of talk and a lot of posturing, as they say, that's going on, and robust conversations, as we always hear, you know, them saying in governments. And
can I just ask one more question? I know the business park by this is called the P337, which is that same road by Sharker's Head and Benini Business Park. The business community, they actually approached the Department of Transport and they said that they will actually take the repairs and they will finance it and with their costs privately to fix the road, because that is part of the Sharker's Head Industrial Precinct. In the last 2 years, so many factories have gone up in that area. We've got a number of industrial sites that have become active. So that's also directly impacting them. Did the farmers also not propose to SANRAL, well, take this contract that has been given to this guy who is not able to run it. He's had more than a year, nothing's happened, and we will do it. I mean, you guys put up the bridge in 3 days. What was their comment on that?
So in the meeting, we, you know, the SANRAL representative, we said, Stephanie, we said, tell them just to walk away. Just leave it as is, and we will take it over, and we will complete the job. And she said to us, we cannot. That just won't happen. Yeah. They can't allow it. It's not, you know, obviously the procedure and the red tape and all of that kind of thing. And you must also understand that these contracts are worth obviously millions and millions of rands. And when private individuals go and say, okay, well, we're going to do it, which makes complete sense, all that it is saying to them is that whoever's going to get that tender is going to lose out on getting a backhand and getting money. And I'm sorry, I know it's probably... You know, I'm probably putting a massive target on my back, but you know, at the end of the day, it has to be said.
Yeah.
And that is ultimately the bottom line here that we are looking at, is that if private individuals, like ourselves, farmers, when we built that bridge, because the bridge that we built, ultimately, they would have had to have done the same thing to be able to make access, you know, to and from.
Yeah, like a temporary.
Exactly. Yeah. So we haven't had any compensation from them, which is, that's beside the point. The point of the matter is that no one wants... The private community and business forums to do anything, because someone is going to lose a piece of the pie.
Yeah.
Someone's not going to be driving the brand new Nissan Navara.
Yeah, and that is it. It's a very big pie, and it's a lucrative pie. I mean, when the flood damage happened and the Treasury released 2.2 billion rand into this region to fix the floods, there's been a massive scurry. And now, just I did receive a tip off, and this has I have put it to the Department of Transport. I did approach them, both the regional representatives. I approached them for comment with the allegations on this particular sinkhole on the junction of the R102. It has been leaked, and these have to be verified. And I did ask them for comment, which they haven't come back to. That the money that was given to Kwadukuza for the flood relief, part of the money was given and set aside for the rehabilitation of the sinkhole. And apparently the contractor was given the money, paid the money to fix it. And obviously 3 years later, no contractor, no fixing of the hole. And I did reach out to Jetra Bunda. I have to also bring that in. His Ward 4 encompasses the Sharker's Head and that little particular region. Now, he actually doesn't live in the area. He is not in Sharker's Head. He's not even in touch with a community that has no essential services, no running water in that community. They have no sewage. And he lives in a very nice little spot in Blythedale with three of his bodyguards, which are costing the tax, the ratepayers 900,000 rand a year to keep him safe from a community at Sharker's Head, which he doesn't live at, who actually don't want him as a ward councillor because he is so he has allegedly not been there for the community. So this is a trifecta. You know, we've got all these fears of government. What do you think is the next step? You know, Kobus spoke about, we've got some solutions. This is what we're going to do. These are the timelines. What is this now? Because we need to keep on until we see some results.
Penny, I think this is what is, you know, as business owners, which we are just so exasperated because it feels like there isn't anywhere to go. And that's hence why we're in this position and we are talking on radio and Radio Life and Style have given us this opportunity because we don't know what more to do because we have engaged. We have got 3 years of correspondence highlighting the problems that are going to happen. We see it every single day and it has fallen on deaf ears. I would actually like to spend a day with the Department of Transport and actually see what they are doing because you see lots sort of posturing and talking and all of that kind of thing, but nothing ever actually gets achieved.
And that is the demise of our community. You know, we've got such a thriving region and this critical infrastructure is so important to the lifeblood of this community. So you know what? They approached me. We've taken the story on. I am going to carry on looking at this flood money that was allegedly supposed to be fixing these sinkholes. We're going to be keeping a very close eye on what unfolds with the P103 and the P104, especially with the tankers and the Avon plant at risk. And we're obviously going to be updating this as, you know, as we get information and continue to dig deeper. Thank you so much, Chris. This is not going to be the first time you're going to be on our show. We're going to be keeping you up, you know, keeping the listeners updated on this very critical issue.
Thank you very much, Penny.
You've been listening to Uncensored with Penny Faree. Uncensored is proudly sponsored by IPSS Electronic Security.